Yeah, waking up in the dark is disgusting.
It's disgusting.
It's sickening.
It really is so rude. The rudest thing that you can do to somebody is wake them up in the dark.
Pink lemonade stand.
Welcome to the Pink Lemonade Stand, where we are serving up smiles.
When life gets sour, we say, pucker up and
squeeze the day.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone. We hope you all had a fabulous weekend.
Yes.
And Nicole, I got to ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you want to hear a story about my pee?
Excuse me? Always.
Yes, I knew you would. Okay, I have to tell you what happened to me this week.
You talking about urine?
Yes, yes.
Okay, okay. Just double checking.
Bodily fluids.
Wait, why does the word, when I just said urine, like, why did I get offended by myself?
It's so, like, intense and medical.
It is medical. Who calls something urine?
Only doctors. Ew. They will only say, you will only hear the word urine in a doctor's office. You don't hear it anywhere else. We just say, babe.
You hear it on your favorite podcast.
Oh my gosh. Well, you had to clarify because yes. I could have been, you know, could have been talking about anything.
You're talking about peas.
I could have been talking about peas. Like, that'll be next time's story. Because okay, I have a story about peas too.
Tune in next week for peas.
Peas. But this week is pee. And okay, I have to tell you this story. It's the craziest thing. It's like slightly TMI, but who cares? So here we are. It's Monday night. I went pee and. Do you ever, like, look back and, like, see what came out?
Yes, yes. We have to investigate.
Always, right?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And sometimes I just pee really fast and I don't. Like, I just don't look or whatever. But for this particular evening, I did look and I was stunned to see that the entire bowl was pink. Like, it was a pink pee.
Pink lemonade!
I'm turning into the brand.
You're so on brand.
I'm so on brand.
No! Pink!
I was like, okay, there's blood. And I remember feeling this sense of shock, like, what is that? But then I, like, quickly forgot about it and moved on with my evening. And I didn't think about it until the next day when I peed again. And guess what? Pink pee again. And I was like, okay, there is blood probably happening in my pee, but that, what does that mean? Like UTI, kidney infection, I don't know. And so for the rest of the day, I started more and more like Googling, feeling nervous, feeling anxious, feeling anxiety. And then I started feeling lower back pain. And I was like, okay, my kidney, what's wrong with my kidney? Like, what's wrong with me? Am I passing a stone?
What else could it be?
It's kidney stones.
Like, what is going on? I was scared. You know when you start the Google?
Oh, yeah.
You immediately it's have dark. Cancer.
It's dark in there.
The Google search is not a good thing to do. Don't look on WebMD. Just don't do it. No, I started feeling, I was trying to not think about it, but actually I was feeling anxious about it because I was like, that's blood in your pee means something serious. So,
right, right.
It's not a good thing. So I ended up texting this primary care that I have an app to. And so I texted them and told them my symptom. They said, come in immediately and we're going to test your urine. They said urine.
They're allowed.
Yeah, they said it. It was so profesh. I went down there and I was trying to keep it cool, but in my mind, I was like, they're going to tell me something bad. I'm going to have to go to the hospital. I peed into the cup and I was like sitting, you know, it's like when you're sitting in the room and you're just waiting, like thinking of all the things.
Yes.
You're just like waiting for the chopping block.
Yeah.
So my doctor comes in and she's like, tell me everything that's going on. And I told her all my symptoms. And then she paused for a second. She was like, okay, so we just tested your urine and we got the results and there's no traces of any blood in there at all. And my jaw just like fell open. I was like, none? She was like, nope, none. And you don't have a UTI or any other infections. And I was like, whoa, well, wow, I'm stunned. Like, what? That's crazy. I mean, that's good, but
right.
It's crazy. And she was like, she kind of like smiled a little bit and she goes, this is going to be a weird question, but by any chance, did you happen to eat beets? And I was like, beets, like beets, beets, a beet, like the food, the vegetable? She was like, yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, actually, I had beets for lunch the day that I found pink pea. And she's like, I'm like, are you telling me that it's beets? And she's like, so beets do this crazy thing. They turn your pee pink. I was dead. Dead.
Oh my God. It was the beets.
Beets.
Oh. Bears. Beets. Battlestar Galactica.
I was like, I feel so embarrassed right now. She's like, no, don't feel embarrassed. Whenever you see an off-color urine, you would of course freak out, but yes, beets will turn your pee pink. And I'm like, I thought I had a kidney stone.
Beets are the devil. I do not support beets.
Has that ever happened to you?
No, because I think beets are disgusting. I wouldn't eat a beet. They taste like straight earth.
Wait, I didn't know this about you. You don't hate beets?
Hate beets.
This is even better.
Never met a beet I liked.
You know what? I will say those beets that I ate for lunch were very potent and very bright red.
They apparently. Were Oh my God. Wait, you know what? This is a good question though, because I feel like on WebMD, somewhere they should say, above kidney stone, did you eat beets?
Did you eat beets?
Like, why are they not giving us the obvious, you know, lunchtime symptom?
Could this have been your lunch? Could have been a snack.
Beets need a disclaimer. Will turn pea pink.
Literally, for all the crazy Googlers out there, which is all of us, we need to have a section on WebMD that they're like, first examine all these like non-medical things first. I mean, I can't even believe it.
What a relief, though, to be beets.
I was truly relieved.
Okay, I have another crazy side effect story that is sort of relative.
Oh my gosh, tell me.
So
bring it on.
My husband Graham one night looked in the mirror and his tongue was completely black. It had turned black.
What?
And he came like running out and he was like, oh my God, there's something happened to my tongue. He opened his mouth and I almost barfed. Like, it was so gross. His whole tongue was completely black.
What?
And I was like, you're obviously dying. What? Yeah. We need to get you to a hospital immediately. What is that? I've never seen anything like this in my life. So we are looking online for black tongue. Like, what? WebMD, black tongue. Horrible things come up for black tongue. We found that sometimes Pepto-Bismol can cause a reaction in certain people. And it can turn your tongue black. Yay,
Pepto-Bismol! What?
And Graham had taken Pepto-Bismol that day. It's gosh. Like you. Like, you had the beet, and you would have never assumed later, oh, it must be my beet.
Never.
Well, when your tongue turns black, you don't think, oh, it's because I took a Pepto-Bismol.
It's just the pep.
It was the pep. But you
I can't believe it.
Black tongue is a symptom. But that's another
black
thing. It needs to come up when you search black tongue. Did you take Pepto-Bismol today?
Yes.
You know, that needs to be like a pop-up.
Yeah.
On WebMD.
People automatically start freaking out when they see something that's never happened to them before. That's totally weird. Am I dying?
Yes.
Like, where's Dr. House to diagnose this weird thing that's happening?
I think we need to develop an app that are common misdiagnosis for things you ate that day.
The app is just literally for hypochondriacs. It's like...
It always comes back to food.
What's that slogan? It's like...
You are what you eat.
You are what you eat. Black tongue, pink pea.
Well, you know what? If anybody out there... Who else has had a weird thing that you thought... Where you thought you were dying, but it was really something...
Oh,
that
yes.
you ate.
Send us your stories.
Or send us your stories. And we'll add it to the app.
We'll put it in our new app called...
You're not dying. You just... Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yes. You're not dying. You just blank. Okay. Where's our investors?
Okay. Well, we want to continue to thank you all for listening. And a reminder, if you want to keep hearing about Pink Pea stories, subscribe and leave us a 5-star review.
Each time you all share with your friends and each review, I'm telling you, this makes such a huge difference for us so that we can be visible on the New and Noteworthies. And for us, we appreciate each of you so much. So remember, 2RRS.
Rate, review, and subscribe.
Now it's time for the sweetest thing, our good news story segment. So what do you got for us today, Nicole?
Well, today's sweetest thing is a story I caught wind of from two of our very loyal listeners. My in-laws.
Thank you, in-laws.
Oh my gosh. They do not know that I am featuring this story today.
I love it.
But they told Graham and I about this and sent us an article. And this is a community story that's too good not to share. So I want to shout out this story to Bill and Bonnie Fenton in Millville, New Jersey.
Oh.
A decade of work pays off for Millville Library Project.
Books, check them out.
My husband's from a small town in South Jersey called Millville, and my in-laws are both teachers, and they've completely dedicated their lives to public education. My father-in-law, Bill, was an English teacher, and then he went on to be a principal. He was also 30 years on the board of this library. He was president. And so this is big news coming out of Millville right now. So all of the pieces are finally in place for the Millville Public Library renovations after a decade of planning, dreaming, and organizing. The city commission adopted a bond ordinance Tuesday night on a 5-0 vote, completing the finances for the $6.5 million project. Work should begin this year, Commissioner Bruce Cooper said. So basically, this was a community project 10 years in the making to renovate this library that has been open since 1963.
Wow.
So the Millville Public Library has always considered itself to be Millville's front porch, a burgeoning community epicenter that could not only provide books, but opportunities for its residents. And so for my in-laws who have completely dedicated their lives to education and to children, they are going to name the children's room for the Fenton family.
They are? That's so
yes.
cool. Wow.
It is so...
That's very special.
It is so sweet. And hearing them talk about it, they were just over the moon. They Aww. Really are the sweetest people you will ever meet. They are so humble, and they would never like brag about this story, but I'm doing it because I feel like it needs to be
yes.
told. Their names are Bill and Bonnie. How cute is that?
Bill and Bonnie Fenton.
Bill and Bonnie.
We love you. Thank
we
you
love
for
you.
All you do.
Thank you for listening.
Yes. Thank you for listening, the Fenton family, and congratulations. This is so... Thank you for sharing this very special story for the Fenton family.
It's
a hometown story, and we really want to branch out and hear from all of you. If any of you have good news stories that you want to share, we want to hear them. So we know there's a lot of good out there, and we want to highlight those zesty stories.
Yes, please email us at theplspodcast@gmail.com. Send us your sweetest things.
Now, we want to remind you about a good news story from last week about the tiny home village built in Los Angeles by the foundation Hope of the Valley, which is making a huge effort to fight against homelessness.
We started a GoFundMe to raise $3,000 to sponsor a tiny home. Please check out the link in our episode notes and help us in our goal to make a difference out there with this huge crisis.
Yes, we have seen those donations coming in, so please keep them coming. Help us get to our goal so we can sponsor one of these homes. It's so cool.
Heidi, you know what really gets me out of a funk?
What?
Candy.
Me too. We're addicts.
Well, I try to eat less sugar, but that just makes me want sugar even more. So thank goodness for Smart Sweets. They are disrupting the candy aisle.
With Smart Sweets, you can enjoy your favorite candy like gummy bears, peach rings, licorice twists, sour watermelons, all of your favorites with 92% less sugar and no sugar alcohols.
There are 12 grams of plant-based fiber in each serving. These are basically a health supplement. Right? It's a vitamin.
It's a vitamin.
I don't know about you, but my personal favorite is the sweet fish.
I love the sweet fish. And my favorite, I think, is the peach rings. I love them. Like, too. I can just eat a whole bag in one sitting. It's very dangerous.
Yeah, but it's not dangerous.
It's not dangerous.
You don't have to feel bad about it.
You bring up a great point. Give me more bags. I know what you all want right now. A discount code. Well, good news. We got one. Use our code PLS10 at checkout to get 10% off your order.
That's PLS10 for 10% off. We highly recommend it. Kick sugar. Keep candy.
Yes.
Go do it. It's easy peasy.
Lemon squeezy.
You know, I think they need to make a pink lemonade candy. Let's call them.
Let's do it. They need a pink lemonade Smart Sweets.
You've heard it here first.
Okay. I'm calling them.
It's coming. Well, today for a special Galentine's episode of the Pink Lemonade Stand, we have two very special guests with us today. These are women we truly admire in all that they are putting out there in the world.
Our amazing friends and fellow podcasters. So without further ado, it's time for
The Main Squeeze.
Gabrielle Ruiz and Pallavi Sastry are two women on a mission to spotlight platonic love in a socially distanced world. Last year, these two best friends started the popular podcast What Are Friends For? To create a space to have meaningful and sometimes uncomfortable conversations about friendships.
They've interviewed incredible guests such as Brittany Snow, Javier Munoz, Rachel Bloom, and Kate Flannery, just to name a few, and they're kicking off season 3, continuing to ask the question, what are friends for? Please welcome to the stand the legendary ladies of WAF, Gabrielle Ruiz and Pallavi Sastry. Woo!
Slay! What a slay intro. Well,
thank you for having us.
So happy that you're here today with us. We know that you have so much going on, but we are so happy to have you. These two are some very fancy career women, everyone listening. They are actresses, philanthropists, producers, and activists. And they've also starred on TV shows such as Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and Blue Bloods, and on Broadway and national tours. They are doing the most.
Pallavi has CEO in her bio. Okay.
Yeah.
Queen.
Yeah. That's essentially, it's just fact at that point, right? I mean, I started a company, so that means I get to put those letters next to my name.
I really save the email that I send with president fast. Like, whenever I like have to lay down, which doesn't, I have to say, thankfully, due to who I surround myself with, doesn't happen often, but it's very empowering to be like, you know what? That email needs to come from me and it needs to say president. In bold.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because like, I think for both of us, we both are the heads of each of our respective companies. And then we came together later on in this business. But, you know, I think what's been cool is that we sort of bring, I mean, not sort of, we bring very different skill sets to those titles. And thankfully, they've really gone hand in hand. Like, I love talking to investors. I love talking about money and what we're worth.
I hate it.
And I love putting it down on paper and showing them that. What's that?
I hate that too. Go ahead. Keep going.
I love putting it down on paper and showing where their money is going to go and how it's going to be used.
Not me.
And I love proving that I'm right afterwards, after they've given me their money. So like, it's that's the part of the CEO thing, is like knowing that I'm behind something that matters. If it matters to me, I can make it matter to somebody else.
Can I hire you for my personal life? Like, I'm inspired.
So how did the Water Friends 4 podcast come to be?
I actually did it. It was born in a road trip with another friend from New York to LA when I was moving here. And so it was more of an experiment and it was more of a hobby for her, which is totally fine, you know? And so I said, I think I'm going to take it and run. And she was like, cool. And so the first person I thought of was Gabrielle, because we had had so many of these types of conversations about how we had to evolve and what have we learned from like not being able to keep friends, and what did we learn in therapy about ourselves that now we can change with our friendships moving forward, and all those things. And she, and I say this all the time, it's very much a quotable of mine, is that she's my most uncomplicated relationship. Ooh,
what a compliment.
I mean, thank you. I worked really hard for that compliment. Thank you.
Tell us, you know, the two of you, what has it been like getting this podcast together? And tell us about some of maybe your biggest challenges along the way.
I think for Gabrielle and I, challenges make us excited. We're like, ooh, how are we going to do that?
Yeah, it's like a riddle. But at the same time, like, fail is fine. You know, no matter what dumpster fire is happening per month, we have been weathering all of the storms since we decided to launch together in early spring of 2020. And we were so excited when we launched season 2 to lean into like International Friendship Day or something in the summer. Mm-hmm. And the BLM tipping point happened. And we say that as in we were allowing topics that were needed to be honored and needed attention for. And as BIPOC women in podcasting, it was groundbreaking for me and Paula V to literally make this whole plan, throw it out the window, because it was getting more realistic and specific on what friendship, what are friends for, right? And so we were like, with this is what friends are for. And we started our season full headstrong on addressing current events that I'm so grateful we did. And I'm so grateful we didn't shy away from it. And every, you know, with voting and with the election, I mean, it's been just like boom, bada, boom, boom, boom. It is keeping us in check. And I'm grateful for that.
Oh, yeah. And like, you know, some people, and even with our producers, like, because we have three other producers who have opinions about the show. And so like, you know, when we talk to them and they're like, well, are we turning into a social justice show or a politics show? And we're like, no, I think we're confusing what all of those are and how interconnected they've become, because essentially when there's something happening in the world and it affects us emotionally or personally in any way, who do we go to talk about those things? Our friends, right? So Definitely. Aren't these just normal conversations that we're having with our people and that we should be nurturing, because it's a part of if it's a part of our person, our friends, like what they're thinking about and they need to unload, we should be there for them.
You're absolutely right. We really do lean on our friends to talk about these hard topics. And we have really enjoyed and appreciated how you've nurtured those conversations in this last season.
We are such huge fans of the podcast, especially the WAF lingo, the slay. It's on the new merch. We're going to keep saying it. We love the new merch and the WAF vocab.
Yeah. So we launched WAF merch, What Are Friends For merchandise, a huge goal for
exciting.
Our podcast.
Yes.
And with the beautiful of launching season 3, February, March, April, we're like really planning to share the idea of asking someone to be my platonic love. And we have this beautiful, we have two mugs. We have one that is the iconic look of candy hearts that says, be my platonic love. And then my favorite, maybe because I designed it, but my favorite is BFF heart necklace duo that's on both sides of the mug. It's on one mug. So you can mail your BFF, whomever that is, in whichever form or shape of love that is, a love gift.
I saw that merch this morning. I went on there to see what you guys had just released, and I love it. That little broken heart.
She's so cute. Like, she's so cute.
So cute.
In person, she's cute. Like,
I gotta get one of those. Right. I'm getting one. Going to the WAF shop after we're done. I want to talk about platonic love. I want to get into it. This month, February, is you know, deemed the month of love. We want to know what this month means, what you think about it. Just unleash, give it to us. we called this episode Galentine's because we just love our friendships with our girlfriends, you know, but please, please tell us what you think about what this month means in general.
Loving you girls, guys. Loving your friendships is platonic love, right? Having the pressure of having to only laser focus on romantic love is so overproduced and so pushed down our psyches. So we're very proud with what our friends for that we celebrate and dive into the amazing as well as the uncomfortable discussions of platonic love.
And even outside of the context of the show, I think what the issue with Valentine's Day is that it's about a grand gesture to show your love. And we feel like platonic love requires the same amount of work, if not more, and the same skills as maintaining and nurturing a romantic relationship. And we are our friendship expert for this season that we have coming up is a lovely, lovely certified friendship coach and author and, you know, publicity goddess named Danielle Byard Jackson. And she says that the research that she has done has shown that platonic relationships are overall more impactful on our health than our romantic ones, like long-term health. And so we're not just talking about like, you know, this lovely thing that, you know, my boyfriend or my husband did for me on this one day. Like, we're talking about like, we should feel the commitment that we feel to our romantic partners. We should give that same commitment to our friendships. And so if Galentine's is like kind of like the new year of all of that, that's what I'm going to turn it into. It's like Galentine's Day is like the friendship.
Oh, I love that.
You know, like it's.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Yes.
On
Happy
Galentine's
New
Day.
Year. I like that. Let this be heard to all who's listening that Paula V just deemed Valentine's and Galentine's the reset. And you bring up a really good point because for someone like me who's not in a romantic relationship, my friendships mean so much to me. Like, those are the relationships I have. Of course, I have my family, but my friends are what got me through hard times in my life, what got me through the pandemic. You know, these are the friendships and the relationships that you cultivate. And so I think what you said is very inspiring, and it's a great takeaway to just say, am I cultivating that? And am I putting the work that I put into my romantic relationships into my friendships?
Yes, yeah. I agree. And I do love my girlfriends. And so to celebrate that on one day and it be honored on a day, I completely also respect versus like just bashing that no one should just buy love. But the fact that, like, you know, I feel like Valentine's Day at a Walgreens is already up December 30th. It's like, guys, you know, you're putting it, they're putting this like,
it's a consumerist holiday.
It's totally.
I want to ask each of you, what makes each of you your platonic love? So,
ooh, I like that.
Gabriella, what makes Paula V?
Oh, me first.
You're first. You're up first. What makes Paula V your platonic love?
Oh, the feelings. Okay. Paula V is my platonic love because I can talk hardcore business with her and then talk full on vulnerable personal conversations, not in the same phone call.
I love that. I love that.
I appreciate and need someone in my life that I can do both and well. And that's Paula V. Sastry.
Love that. That's very sweet.
Look at Paula V taking it. She's doing such a good job taking
it. We're switching it around.
Yep, Paula V, now it's you. What makes Gabrielle your platonic love?
She's saying that because one of the skills I have to work on is that I just have to accept compliments as they are instead of, you know, being like, no, you know.
Yes.
Okay, so Gabrielle is my platonic love because even when she's holding me accountable to do difficult things and make difficult choices, I don't feel that she is judging me or pressuring me in any way. So I feel like I can grow in a safe environment.
That's a great quality to have in a friend.
Slay.
Slay. Your friendship shows, it shines through the podcast. You're touching on difficult topics and we love to hear it. We can see it here on the screen. And also in the Pink Lemonade Stand, as much as we like to highlight things that are positive, we also like to touch on topics that can be more difficult. So we shine a light on the lemons to lemonade things in our lives. What are the things that are hard? How did we get through them? So we want to hear about those human moments and what was a time in your life that was difficult and how did you get through it? And we'll let you guys decide who wants to go first.
The actual starting of our business was a lemon into lemonade thing because we really had to like point out what the hurdles were, meaning like there was a couple of business decisions that I had made that weren't necessarily going to allow me to move forward and level up in the way that she and I hoped to do. And the person who called us out and the people that called me out on it was her and Philip, and they work together and they're my friends, right? So like, here I am. It's like, and that's the tricky part about what we do with our show is like, it's a very, the work and the topic is so emotional, but we cannot make the business emotional in that way. And so I had to hear them and they had to like, you know, and I know you said this before, I'll let you expand on it, but you know, like, how do you tell your friend that like you didn't make a good decision and it's holding you back? So how are we going to change it so we can move forward?
It was definitely, and it came from Philip too, where he said, I don't know if I can tell Paula V this truth for us to be able to partner because she's my friend and that is more important. And we don't need to go there if you don't want to, Gabrielle. And I said, Paula V, I don't know if I told you this. I said, Paula V can handle it. I said, and that's before like calling you my platonic love confession. Like it was like, she can handle those conversations. But there was a moment where Philip and I, out of miscommunication, because emails miscommunicate most times, like texts are even worse. We decided to say no thank you to what our friend's for, like for a hot 30 minutes. And I texted Paula V and I said, with love, I think we should try to do something else together because X, Y, and Z, I just sent you an email. And she called and said, this is what we're actually talking about. This is what's actually happening. And I said, great, let's keep talking. And so I'll never forget that moment too. Like it was a very bitter lemon to present honestly. And the lemonade that we made out of what our friend's for, and those hard conversations, and good paperwork, you know, to keep good friends, really just empowered us to be able to like open those barriers of just being honest.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you if we disagree, like all five producers disagree on one thing, I'm okay with being outvoted because I've decided to partner in this way. And so it's been a wonderful, one of my first like producing endeavors for me personally, what our friends for is. And I'm so glad it came now and a little later, because I don't think I would be that strong enough maybe years before or in my 20s in one way. And I learn a lot from Paula V too.
Oh, wow. Yeah. We can totally relate to you on starting a business with friends. And it was something that I had never done before. Heidi and I previously started another business together. It was the first time that I'd ever gone into business with friends, and it sounds really fun and easy at first.
Everyone's real excited.
Everyone
confess your friend story business endeavors on the review for PLS tonight. Okay, like review this episode and confess and let us know.
Gotta hear it.
You know what we're talking about.
We learned so much in those first few years on how to communicate with one another. And there were a lot of times where you would hold things in because you're trying not to upset your friend. And you think, okay, I'm just going to ignore this or swallow this down. And then, you know, we'll just move on and it'll be fine. And then those things just build up and build up. And if you're not communicating the right way, it just explodes. It hasn't always been easy, but all of those times have led us to learn and how to communicate with one another. And I feel like it's been such a joy to have those hard times and to figure out that we can work with one another to the point where we started a second business together because we know that we can work well together, but it doesn't always happen with your friends. And it can be really scary when you feel like you could sacrifice a friendship because you started something with such mm-hmm. good intentions and you thought it was going to go one way and then it doesn't. So I'm glad to hear that it worked out for the two of you as well, and that you've yeah. been able to figure out how to work together and what needs to be in place. And it seems like you've got it all going on now.
But I mean, I don't think that it is a difficult decision to, it should be a very well thought out decision to go into business with friends, but I don't think that it is one of those things that needs to be feared. And I think the reason why we're scared of it is because we're afraid to be honest with the other person about what is holding us back from doing it in the first place. If the idea, like, you know, you guys feel passionate about PLS podcast and we feel passionate about this topic of friendship and platonic love. So if that's the common goal, then like get out of our own way in order to make it happen.
You're going to come across bumps. You're going to work those mm-hmm. things out together. And it is always yeah. better afterwards. You said fear is what holds us back, you know, from mm-hmm. making progress. But you can't make progress unless you do the tough things. So I'm so glad you guys shared that.
I mean, I roomed with a friend of mine, and the moment he said, let's room together, I felt it in my gut. I was like, this is a terrible idea. And I just said, okay, you know, and that was in my 20s. And the whole time I hated it. I tell Michael this still, because we are still friends, miraculously, after rooming together, that he ruined microwaves for me. You know what I mean? Like, he ruined microwaves for me, but it was my fault. I should not have said yes, and I should have learned. Or it was that lesson to find maturity and how to say that conversation, how to have that conversation. Like, love you, man, but no way. Can't live with you. It's just like, we got to just, let's see each other. Oh. Let's live close to each other. But like, my house, my difference.
Totally.
My difference. Oh my gosh. The same thing with business.
What happened with the microwave? I'm dying to know now.
You know, it just, the pasta and the tomato sauce and the heat and no splatter guard. You gotta have the guard.
Explosions.
So like, we just had that tough conversation and I was just like, I don't think it's gonna work. He's like, I don't think it's either. Okay, take the microwave.
Take the microwave with you. He got custody of the microwave. Well, that leads us into our next segment of questions here, and we're going to do a love edition of It's Time to Get Juicy with these ladies. We are going to ask you some questions, and we're going to ask them fast. We just want you to say the first thing that comes to your mind. So are you ready? Gabrielle, who is your celebrity crush?
Harry Connick Jr.
Paula V.
Mine's on deck. I'm ready. It's Idris Elba.
Idris Elba? Oh. Paula V. I have his business card. Did I ever tell you this? Okay. Like, it's like metal, too. It's
how
like so sexy.
How just have
like
you
him.
Never like, told me this?
I never knew he was your celebrity crush.
He's my hall pass.
I never knew. And so why would I? So if Philip was here, he would be bragging about this metal business card that he got. He's the one that got it at a party that we went to. This is when I paid for a publicist and I got into an Entertainment Weekly party. Like, I don't just go to these luncheons or anything, okay, for free. And so I paid for that business card. And he's the nicest man. And God, he says he loves you.
Thank you so much.
Oh. The fact that we got you guys to reveal something you didn't know about each other, this is groundbreaking.
I was speechless though, right? There's going to be like a gap in your show where I'm just like processing what she just said to me in silence. Yeah. Like,
he was like, oh, by the way, tell Paula B. Sestre I said I love her. And this is like 4 years ago. I can't believe I haven't told you this.
You had shifty eyes for sure. You were like, what? You've had this in your possession, our whole friendship, and I didn't know?
You've been holding out the metal card?
Let the TikTok rumors fly.
Yes.
Start your TikTok. Oh, gosh, that was amazing. Okay, next question. Paula V, have you ever played Cupid and set up a love match?
Yes. I'm actually very good at it.
Okay. Oh, wait, we talked about this. We got to get matchmaking going here.
I've made at least 3 weddings happen. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
You weren't joking. You have a talent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like not necessarily like on purpose every time, but I just like put good people in the room together, I guess.
You're intuitive. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk. I'll call you after.
I will confess that one of those marriages ended a year later. But
oh.
Two out of three. That's still good.
You're still beating the odds. Okay, ladies, we're going to have you both answer. What's your favorite rom-com?
Oh, Paula B knows hers.
When Harry Met Sally.
Love that. Love that.
I love that classic. I mean, my new favorite one, it just topped on top of Sex and the City movie. And it also pushed Bridesmaids out of the way, is Trainwreck.
Oh, I love Trainwreck. It's so good.
So good.
Oh, that's good.
It's so, so good.
Okay, Paula B, what is the most romantic thing that you have done for another person?
Goodness.
It's hilarious. It probably says something about my personality, but I said, yes, I'll marry you.
Yeah, that's a very long story. That's a totally different episode, ladies.
It seems to have worked out, though. You've been married
11 years, y'all.
Woo! That is the most romantic thing you've ever
done. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Am I allowed to be crude on this podcast?
Sure, we might edit it out, but yes. tell us how we can hear it. Just tell us.
Heidi, that is the best CEO answer ever.
Sure, we'll probably take it out, but that doesn't mean we don't want to hear it. We still want to hear it.
Okay, when we're looking to buy our house when we were house shopping in LA, we actually were on the other side of the street. This is a U-shaped street, and we saw a different house, and it wasn't really for us. And then our realtors were like, actually, there's another house around the corner that's about to be for sale. If you want to just walk around and look at it, and then, you know, we can try and make an appointment if you like it from the outside. And then we walked up to our house that we live in now, and I saw it and I gasped and I said, babe, if you buy this house for me, I will. In front of our realtors, that's what I said.
They're waiting for the answer. So they're also thinking, like, how do we sell this to Hari?
You know, he was like, can you guys put this in the contract?
Yeah, write it in. A little addendum there.
Thankfully, our realtors are friends of ours. And so, like, you know, Hari just looked at him. He was like, cool, guys, let's do this.
You're finally almost out of contract, Paula. I'm dead.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Okay, Gabrielle, in one word, tell us what are friends for.
What are friends for in one word? Paula B. Yeah, try to top that
one. Oh, threw down the gauntlet.
Well, I couldn't top the other edited out story with, like, what's the most romantic thing I've done? So at least I topped this one.
This was so much fun to have you. To all of the listeners, please go listen to What Are Friends For podcast. These ladies are a complete treat. You can listen to What Are Friends For every Wednesday, anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Follow along with Gabrielle and Paula B on their website, waffpodcast.com, and on Instagram at WAF Podcast, and to make sure you never miss an episode. We're so excited for this new blossoming friendship between PLS and
yes.
WAF. Slay.
Thank you for having us. You all are such a delight, sweet taste of happiness in my day. I can't drink wine, and all I've been drinking is lemonade. So this is extremely appropriate for my moment right now. So thank you for having us.
We have saved the zest for last. This is where we talk about some things that we are obsessed with this week. Heidi, what are you feeling this week?
All right, I got something this week. It is a weird one, but I am completely obsessed with this. So I think it was last year maybe, I discovered ASMR. And I know that a lot of people know what this is. It's like sounds that give you the tingles, or some of it is like to help you go to sleep or whatever. Well, I found this one that is new to me anyway, and it's an Instagram account that do crackling clay. What even is that? I don't know. But it is like people have made taken a certain kind of clay and then maybe baked it, and then they paint it so it looks like an actual object, and then they squish it. They crack it, and it has like a crack. The outside is crispy, and the inside is like a squishy clay, and the sound... the sound of people doing it is hypnotic.
Oh my gosh.
Hypnotic. Okay, so I sent you a link to this account called @claypoppings.
clay poppings.
So okay. Turn on the volume really loud and let the video start from the top. It looks like an apple.
Wow, this is super weird.
It's weird, right?
I'm saving it.
Save it. Go down the rabbit hole of clay popping, clay cracking.
What will they think of next?
I don't know, but I am obsessed. Like, but there is a specific ASMR account that I like to help me fall asleep. And it's a YouTube, like ASMR to fall asleep is... I can't believe I'm like talking about this. Like I'm some kind of expert, but I don't know. I stumbled upon ASMR when the idea of like helping you go to sleep. And so I was like, this isn't real. I don't believe. And I found this YouTuber named Ting Ting, and she has a whole sleep ASMR, and she gets on there and she's like, hi, I'm going to help you go to sleep tonight. And then she just does little sounds like this. And she does little like tapping. And I was watching it. Boom. Out. Asleep.
What?
Asleep.
Oh my God.
And so then it became a habit. I started listening to Ting Ting every night just to go to sleep. And it was just magic. Yeah. What about you? Do you have a thing?
I do have a thing. It's so weird, but it's actually not unusual in society.
Oh my gosh.
I fall asleep to The Office.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No!
like millions of other people, and it is so weird that Graham and I thought we were the only people, or that, you know, you like to watch a show that you've just seen a billion times, but then you come to find out you are not alone. And it's almost like the ASMR thing.
There's
you must
a whole
think, nobody
underground
else
community.
Is doing this. No one else is like listening to clay while they fall asleep. But P.S. Newsflash: yes, they are. There are millions of people out there listening to clay while they fall asleep
and listening to Michael Scott.
Listening to Michael Scott. So
I
yes,
did
there's
not
something
know
soothing,
this.
And it's and for me, I always like to go to sleep to the sound of like a familiar TV show or something. And I think really what it is ambient noise of people talking.
Yeah, totally. You know? I wonder if we can find a community out there that's like specifically The Office to sleep. Like that is so funny. I love it. So no other show, just The Office.
Okay, well, it can sometimes be. Here are two other runner-ups. Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And Arrested Development.
Okay, so they're all kind of in that same, like, comedy genre.
Yes, they're very similar types of shows.
I like it. It's so interesting, like, these little sleep tricks. You know what we should do? We should do
Pink Lemonade Stand ASMR episode.
It's just us squeezing lemons.
And whispering the whole episode. Just say,
we're adding the sugar now.
We're adding. We're going to squeeze the lemon. Squeeze the day.
Squeeze the day.
Make pink lemonade. You're simply the zest.
Keep calm and squeeze the limon.
Living my zest life.
Citrus got real.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy. And are you guys asleep yet? That is your episode of Pink Lemonade ASMR. Okay, how about this? I will try The Office one night and you try Ting Ting.
Okay, fair enough.
Give
I
it
think
a try.
We can try Ting Ting. Yeah. And if that doesn't work, there's always Ambien.
To send you off with the good feels today, I have a Seed for the Soul in honor of our great friends at Water Friends 4 podcast, Gabrielle and Paula V. A good friend is like a four-leaf clover, hard to find, but lucky to have. And that is an Irish proverb. And you know what else, Nicole?
Keep smiling.
Keep shining.
No, and you can always count on me. For sure, that's what friends are for.
In good times
and bad times,
I'll be on your side forevermore. That's what friends are for.
I'm not quite sure, but I think I took the bass line.
You took a bass note. And Nicole,
what?
Happy Galentine's!
Happy Galentine's! And you don't really need a special day to tell somebody you love them, so do it today.
Go out there and do it. And thank you all so much for stopping by the Pink Lemonade Stand. We will be here every single Monday.
We would love it if you would squeeze that subscribe button, leave us a 5-star review, and follow us on Instagram at the PLS Podcast for more sweet treats throughout the week.
Now remember, when you're feeling like an old bitter rind, remind yourself you are a gorgeous,
delightful,
fabulous glass of pink lemonade.
Now go out there and squeeze the day.
Pink lemonade stand.